My name is Al Morse, and I'm from Perry, Kansas, and we're going to have another Bible teaching. In this Bible teaching, we're going to deal with a word that came upon me that is just magnificent. It's chosen. Chosen. We are chosen. That's hard to even comprehend when we get into this. But you see, God is in perfect control. He knows every person that's going to be with Him for eternity. And He knew it before the world was ever made. Every person who's going to live for eternity in this new heavens and new earth down the road that is beyond our imagination. And He knew every person. It's just fantastic. Let's see how God works in our lives and how He's going to bring this to... Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. This is when Paul was in Philippi. And he was walking down the riverside and he saw a group of women who probably were having some kind of a Bible study or something. And he walked up to them and obviously what did he do? He preached the gospel. That's all he did was preach the gospel. That's all he did. Just look what happened. Verses 14, Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Acts. Acts chapter 16, verses 14. And he says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul." You see, in order for anybody to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel, God has to open their hearts. They have to open their hearts. See, I can teach forever, but if God doesn't open their hearts, they'll never understand. And it's up to Him to do that, and He will. And He will do that for those chosen people that He knows beyond any shadow of doubt will believe. He opens their hearts. And give you an idea how much God really knows about us. Let's turn to Job. Now, maybe you might not know where that's at. Psalms. Go to Psalms. That's the chapter is right in the center of your Bible. And then Job is the first book to your left, just before Psalms. And we're going to go to 42. That's the last chapter of Job, just before Psalms. In verse 1, Job 42, verses 1, it says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from thee." You see, he not only knows us personally, he knows our thoughts. Kind of scary, isn't it? It would be to me, but it's the way it is. And he's saving no matter what. Because he knew that if I heard the gospel, I'd believe it. And it's up to him to get it to me. And he did. And I just praise the Lord for that. He got the gospel to me. It took a long time before I finally got the gospel. But he got the gospel to me. And it just made all the difference in the world. The biggest difference is, I have the Holy Spirit. I have God living in me. It's just beyond imagination. Now let's turn to Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians back in the New Testament. 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then Galatians, and then Ephesians. And Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at verses 3. This is really neat. It says, "Blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ, according," now listen to this one, "accordingly, as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." He has chosen us before the foundations of the world. Now, that's just beyond my imagination. But that just shows you the power of God. He has chosen every one of the people who are going to be in His church, the body of Christ, before the foundations of the world. But the problem is, today, the churches aren't preaching the gospel. They just aren't doing it. I'm not saying all of them aren't, but I can say 95% of them aren't. You see, I'm 71 years old, and I have been in church all my life, and I never heard the gospel for my salvation spoke. Not once. And the only way that it ever happened, that God, obviously He had chosen me. Because, see, I did hear the gospel, but it wasn't from a pastor. It wasn't from any church. It was from a man in by the name of Les Feldick, who is a cattle rancher in Oklahoma. And he's the best Bible teacher I've ever listened to. And he's probably the best there is. And that's all he does is teach the gospel. And when I heard it, I believed it. I believed it. Let's take and look at, we'll show you what God is doing now. We're showing what He's doing now. The churches aren't preaching it. What is He doing now? Let's turn to 2 Timothy. We're going to go clear to the back end of Paul's epistles. First and then 2 Timothy. And look at verse 2. Chapter 2, excuse me. We'll start with verse 1. He's writing this letter to Timothy, Paul is. And this is the last letter he's going to write, because he's in prison, and I think that not only in prison, but this is where he's going to die, I'm sure. Anyway, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace which is in Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus, "and the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You see, when Paul established the body of Christ, he established this church, the church that we're supposed to have today. And he established pastors, evangelists, and teachers, and in these churches, and they were all had one thing that they were supposed to do, and that was preach the gospel, because that's all Paul preached for our salvation, that Christ died for your sins, that He was buried, and He rose from the dead. This is what the church is supposed to preach for salvation. But are they? I never heard that for my salvation. My salvation was always believe in Jesus. Take Jesus as your Savior. Take Jesus in your heart. That's not the gospel. And that's not what Paul preached. He preached what Jesus did on that cross. He didn't preach Jesus. He preached what He did. Because what He did is what saved us. Because if He hadn't died on that cross to pay the sin debts for the whole world, we'd still be in our sin. And so he pointed to what He did on the cross for salvation for the church. So, the churches aren't preaching this today. So he's gone to faithful men like Les Feldick. And I hope there's lots of others throughout the country. But look what Les, look, turn to, look at 24, verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And he says, "And the steward of the Lord must not strive." These are the people, these are faithful men. "But to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and in meekness instructing those who oppose him." And Les had tons of people opposing him. I have tons of people opposing me. But he said, instructing them that oppose him. "And if God, perhaps, will give them," these people that oppose you, "repentance to the knowledge of the truth." What's the knowledge of the truth? Well, it's the gospel, but I got to prove it to you. Turn back to Ephesians. Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 13. Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 13. Keep your finger in 2 Timothy. I'm sorry. It says, "In whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth," the gospel of your salvation. in whom after you believed what? The gospel of your salvation. What happened? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. So he said that they come to repentance to the knowledge of the truth or the gospel, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who has taken captive by him at his will. At his will. Satan has taken over our churches, and he has given our pastors totally false doctrine to preach. Totally. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 3. It says, if our gospel be hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost. If you don't believe the gospel for your salvation, you're lost. I didn't say it. The book said it. Anything I say is what the book said. This is what the Lord said. This is the Holy Spirit said. If the gospel be hidden, it's hidden to those that are lost, in whom the God of this age, who's the God of this age? Satan. Satan's the God of this age, has blinded the minds of them who believe not the gospel. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. So, God has had to go to faithful men now to teach, to preach the gospel so that people could hear it. Because he's got tons of chosen people out there. And he knows it can, if they would had an opportunity to hear the gospel, they would believe it. Because he has already chosen them since the beginning foundations of the world. Think about that. And so that's why he told me to start teaching the gospel also. And I went to the internet where I could, somebody's going to hear this that's been chosen, and they will believe the gospel. And that's exactly what the whole intent of it is, because the churches aren't teaching it. It's just beyond my imagination as far as that's concerned. Let's take and look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, go back to the right. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And we're going to look at verses. 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to look at chapter 2, verses 13. And it says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. You see, unto which he called you by what? Our gospel, to obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been chosen to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit. You see, a person has to, in order to be saved, you have to have the Spirit in you. You have to have the Holy Spirit in you. It is tremendously important. It's the only, because, and you obviously, in order to get the Holy Spirit in you, you have to have a belief of the truth. And we just read about that. What is the truth? The gospel. As soon as you believe the gospel, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. I mean sealed. That means you are totally saved when you believe the gospel. And God knows you if you believe it or not. You see, God knows. We just saw in Job your thoughts. They can't be withheld from him. And he's never going to give the Spirit to anyone who does not believe the gospel. You see, you can fool your pastor, you can fool your teacher, you can fool your parents. Your children can fool your parents, you can fool each other, but you can't fool God. And nobody, Nobody will receive that Holy Spirit unless they believe the gospel. Because when you believe the Holy Spirit, you're sealed for eternity with God. And there's nobody going to be in heaven that didn't get there because other than the gospel. And because it's a gospel of grace, that means that God did it all. There's no going to be in heaven that's talking about what they did. It's all what God did. He did it all. He drew you. He opened up your mind so you could understand the gospel. He chose you in the beginning. And he gives you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to keep you. We're going to see that. But let's talk. We're talking about the Spirit. Let's turn to. We just read Ephesians 1:13. Let's just turn to Romans chapter 8 and show you how important it is. Back to the left to Romans. To Romans chapter 8. This is just. And this. All I'm telling you is what the book says. That's all I do. I just. Just tell you what the book says. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at verses 9. Of course, every one of these letters that he wrote, he has written them to already that these are believers. He never writes to unbelievers. He's writing to believers. He says, but you are not in the flesh. See, we're not in the flesh anymore once we believe the gospel. We got God living in us. He's going to direct us and draw us closer and closer to him each and every day. But in the Spirit. But if the Spirit dwells in you. Now, is there a question about that? I hope not. It says, now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's scary, isn't it? That's scary. You see, I live my whole life never having the Spirit. And I thought I was a believer my whole life. And I never was taught the gospel because I never had the Spirit. But the second I believed the gospel and I told the Lord I believed the gospel that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead, he gave me the Spirit. And so it was just beyond your imagination. I always had a hard time studying the Bible. I'd read about 10 sentences in the Bible, verses, whatever you want to call them, and I'd get done, I didn't know what I read, and I'd have to read them over again, because my mind would wander, and I couldn't concentrate. I just didn't have the Spirit. But the second I believed the gospel, I started studying the Bible, and 10 hours later, I was still studying and understanding. It was blowing my mind, and I've been studying like that ever since. Day after day, I spent nothing. 10 hours is nothing to me to sit and study this Bible. It's just beyond my imagination what God has done in my life. That's what the Spirit does. But if you don't have the Spirit, it just says, you're none of his. And I wasn't his. I had been chosen. And he had to get me the gospel. You see, I couldn't even die. There's no way I could have died before he gave me the gospel because I was chosen. He proved I was chosen because I have the Spirit today, you see. And there's people out there walking around that are chosen, but they haven't heard the gospel. And that's what I'm trying to do, preach the gospel so that they can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Go back to the right. To 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And look what it says. And this is I want everybody to listen to this carefully. Examine yourself whether you're in the faith. That's exactly what it means. Examine yourself. Are you in the faith? Prove yourself. Know ye not yourself how Jesus Christ is in you? Do you know that Christ is living in you? When you get filled, when you believe the gospel and he's sealed with the Holy Spirit, you know it. It isn't something that you won't know. I mean, you will know it. You see, your eyes will be opened up. You will be able to understand the God. He'll give you a thirst for God you never had before. Your whole priorities in life will change. Everything will change because of what the God is living in you. This is God living in you. Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. But the Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all one. they're one. So to say that Christ lives in me, I'm not stretching the fact. He lives in me. He walked with me. He talked with me. He guides me. He directs me every day of my life. And He will you also. It's just fantastic what God will do. And it says, if He's not, unless you're discredited. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're discredited. But the only way you can get it is to believe the gospel. Is to believe the gospel. It's just hard for me to understand, you know, why people turn back, because that's all Paul preached. That's all Paul preached in this, all these letters. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. I mean, how clear is that? That's Romans chapter 1:16. How clear is that? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. He didn't say believe and be baptized. He didn't say believe and join a church. He didn't say believe and add anything to it. It's just believe the gospel. And that's all He asks you to do, is believe that He died on that cross to pay for your sins. Believe that He was buried and He rose from the dead. You believe that, and the second you believe that, God, Jesus Christ Himself, would come into you and spend the rest of His days with you. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just go to the right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There are a lot of people who will tell me, well, I don't think there's such a thing as once saved, always saved. You can lose your salvation. Not when you believe the gospel, you can't. When you got God living in you, you're never going to walk away from Him. It isn't going to happen, because He's not going to allow it to happen. Look what it says. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about your whole body and your soul and spirit preserved blameless until the coming of our Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus. When is that going to happen? Well, it's either when you die and God's going to come and take your soul and spirit to heaven, or when the rapture comes, when God comes to take His people off this earth and resurrect those bodies of those people that are in heaven, and that they'll all have a body like Jesus' glorified body. It's just beyond our imagination. But He's going to preserve us blameless until He comes. But guess what? And when He said He was going to, look at verse 24. Faithful is He who, God, that calleth you. He's the one that called you. He's the one that opened your heart up. He's the one that gave you the ability to believe the gospel. Who also will do it. God's going to do it. He's going to preserve you blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. Think about that. You see, the gospel of grace that Paul only preached, the gospel of grace, people don't understand grace. It means unmerited favor. There is nothing we have to do for our salvation except believe the gospel, and He takes it from there. He just asks you to believe it. That's salvation for the church. You believe that Jesus died on that cross and that He was buried and rose from the dead. You are saved and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And Christ will live in you, and He will preserve you until the day Jesus comes, and He's going to do it. It didn't say one thing in it that you have to do anything different. Not one thing. But the church thinks all kinds of things you've got to do. But that isn't what the book says. That's Judaism, and we're not involved in Judaism. Jesus, when He walked on this earth, He was only talking to the Jews, and He said that. He said, I only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he couldn't do anything different. And so what he was talking, only what they had to do then, those people, the Israelites, they had to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They had to believe. And they couldn't, but they didn't. They didn't believe. And Peter, James, and John preached their hearts out to the Jews. They never went to Gentiles. They went to the Jews, and they preached their hearts out. But they didn't believe. And today, they still don't believe. Have you ever find a synagogue that preaches that Jesus is the Messiah? I don't think you'll find one. I hope you can, but I don't think you can find a synagogue of Jews that preach that Jesus is the Messiah. They told their back on him. And when they turned their back on him, God conned out a whole new church called the Body of Christ. He was the head of the church, and we're the body. And this body of Christ's salvation was the gospel. And that's all that Paul preached, was the gospel of our salvation. That's all he preached. It's just beyond imagination. And being chosen before the foundations of this world. How great is that? How great is that? He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. And there's people out there walking around today that are chosen, but they haven't heard the gospel. And this is my prayer today, is that the people today will hear this gospel. Those people that are chosen, they'll hear it. And the second when they hear it, they'll believe it. They'll believe it. There's no ifs and buts about it. Turn to Titus. We're right here close. Turn to Titus and just look at chapter 3. It says, verses 10, it says, a man that is a heretic, that's a non-believer, don't believe the gospel, after the first and second admonishment, reject, knowing that he that is in such as is subverted and sinneth and being condemned of himself. He's told me to teach the gospel, and I teach them once, and I teach them twice, and if they reject me, I've got to go on, because I've got to find that person that's chosen, because as soon as I tell him or her, they're going to believe, because they've been chosen since the foundations of the world. Let's pray. Father, I just pray you open the hearts, and I pray that you would bring the people to these teachings, that they would hear the gospel and that they could be truly saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, your chosen ones. And I pray that with all my heart, in Jesus' precious name, amen.